The subject is computerization and music, or put another way, the computer telling us what to play, when, and for that matter, perhaps even how. The notion of using computers to playlist a station's output is something which I too find a little hard to swallow. At least, that's how I feel today. Yesterday, it was a little different, and who knows what tomorrow will bring. For this is the dilemma facing all of us who run programming for radio stations. Do we really want to own up and admit that a machine can do it better than us, or those who work for us? Like many of you, I've seen, been given the sales pitch, been asked to consider taking into the station these wonder toys which will revolutionise our industry. At the same time, by judicious questioning, I've found out that in America, for example, certainly up to the middle of last year, there were only something like 400 stations using one very well-known computer system to program their music. And remember that there are 9,500 radio stations in America. So why wasn't everyone rushing down that road, particularly in the light of the fact that this particular company had been in business for, 12 or 14 years? But I have to own up and say that at this moment, as you hear this, Radio Clyde does it by the time-honoured system of employing someone to steer the music towards an all-things-to-all-men philosophy. And with 52% reach, we're not complaining about the success rating in this particular sense. In stations which have opted for music choice by computer, there is, I'm told, a lot of wailing, a gnashing of teeth by presenters who believe that they are simply the fillers-in of the slots between music. And our job is to convince them that this is the most important aspect of a music-based radio station. Our records are the same as any other radio station's records. No debate there. Caruso, Frank Sinatra, Connie Minogue, they all sound the same once the needle drops. What the machine does offer us is an opportunity to sell to presenters that need to prepare to work on programs to rehearse their ad-libs, if you like, just like Morecambe and Wise used to spend a fortnight going over their ad-libs before a television program was canned. And the end result must be that every interjection of speech has to be, to use an old IBA phrase, truly meaningful. I've heard of presenters almost weeping because they're not allowed anything like the same quota of free play. The systems allow free play, of course, but it is an added danger, isn't it? For we're trying to streamline output in such a way that forever it touches the right chord for the right people at precisely the right time. As soon as the indeterminate is allowed into a pre-programmed formula, we could have problems. We've a rather odd situation in ILR currently, whereby a lot of you, dare I say this, will be talking about, thinking about, perhaps even organising, records which were destined to become everlasting favourites before some of you were born. There's food for thought there, you know. Oh, not in any sense am I criticising anybody who's, let's just say, a lot younger than Keith Skews, for example. Oh, no. But there is a certain magic in the way that eyes light up when somebody aged 35, 45, 55, 65, dare I say it, more than 65, recalls his or her particular favourites from the past, not based on something culled from a reference book built up since the late 1950s, but sheer recollection, the pleasure of having listened then. By now, you're probably saying, what a drag. Apart from being boring, he's chickening out. But let me emphasise that this is not the case. I think that it's very simple for anybody with a meagre understanding, liking, involvement in music to be able to select the 1,000, 2,000 or 3,000 records which should go into a computer. What is infinitely more difficult is the extraction of these against a given audience which changes throughout the day. I'll be honest and say that I'm worried. No, the word is concerned about the what might be called inescapable conclusion that in the narrow casting world ahead of all of us, we do need a computer chip to help us do our jobs.
Inevitably,